Welcome back. Good morning, 97.1. Jim Costa, John Jansen, hanging out live at the University of Michigan Golf Course this morning. Big Ten Media Days are this week.
Yeah.
Football is in the air, and that smile is what it's all about, baby.
It is right around the corner. Michigan reports on the 31st. I know Michigan State is going to start camp here pretty soon. The Lions, rookies are in, and today is the day for the vets. It's going to be unbelievable.
If you can hear the mower in the background, that's what that is.
Getting the grounds ready.
We got business to do. Craig has a series of questions, fill-in-the-blank Michigan Mad Libs for the upcoming season.
Well, we're actually going to start with some open-form questions, so it's a little bit of a blue book exam. Hope you guys didn't step on the M at the diag to start the day.
Oh, never do. Never do.
We will start. Question number one, what is the biggest question you have about Michigan football this year?
The biggest question is going to be a leadership void. Who is going to step up? And this is where I always go to every single season at this time of the year. You move on from all the guys that had such influence last year, Mikey Sanders still, and that whole group of captains. Now it's going to be who fills that leadership void. Mason Graham, Kenneth Grant, Will Johnson, who's going to be the quarterback? That's going to be a big question. But I'm more curious as to when you get into the tougher games like Texas and Ohio State at the end of the year, who has stepped up when things get tough to rally the troops, to make sure everybody knows it's going to be okay, we've got the talent, now let's just go out there and play. So who's going to be those juniors and seniors that step up and fill the void that is left by those that have moved on and are playing on Sundays right now?
John goes intangible, I'll go tangible, this passing attack. You don't know who your quarterback is, you don't know who many of these receivers are. Are you going to be able to bludgeon people on the ground the way you did a year ago? You lost everybody up front. I think the question marks are in the downfield passing game.
Jim, those are the obvious. I will go the non-obvious of the tangible, the back end of the defense, the Rod Moore injury, which has not gotten a lot of publicity, and Keon Sabb transferring to Alabama. We do have Mekari Page back there. Who's the second safety spot? I'm looking at Quentin Johnson. Remember him, he had a huge hit in the Ohio State game last year. Back end of the defense, who replaces Rod Moore and Keon Sabb? Number two, what is the biggest challenge for Sherrone Moore in his first year?
The bigger Big Ten. I mean, the schedule is going to be a lot more difficult. Texas isn't in the Big Ten, but that's part of it. Now you throw Oregon in the mix, USC. You're going to have more difficult challenges along the way before that final game against Ohio State. It's just a tougher schedule, in addition to the fact that they lost so many people.
And here's the other thing. Here's my answer. It's at some point there's going to be a loss this year. Last year, obviously, Jim Harbaugh was the coach. They ran through everything. And Sherrone Moore had a chance to step in at Penn State, against Maryland, against Ohio State. But at some point this year, I really believe there's going to be an L. How does Sherrone Moore handle that as the head coach? As an offensive coordinator, it's you've got your side of the ball to rally the troops, to make adjustments, to corrections. But as the head coach, there is so much more. We know on game days, he can call a good game, and he can be a game manager in those moments. But when you are the leader of the program, and you take a loss, the first one you've had in over a calendar year, how do you handle that situation? What the players are going to be looking to you for leadership. What is it that you're going to be able to provide them in that moment of, we haven't experienced this, how do we recover?
All right, well done, fellas. Now we're into the fun part, the fill-in-the-blank portion of this quiz, you could say. Michigan will win the Big Ten if blank.
If they get great production and great leadership out of their quarterback, that's really what it comes down to. And I know there's going to be questions about the offensive line. Will Donovan Edwards have, will he have the big plays in every game versus just, again, like we saw against Penn State or Washington or in the Rose Bowl? Like, you've got to be able to get good, consistent quarterback play, and they'll win the Big Ten if. And I'll just use Alex Orji as the example because I believe he's going to be the starting quarterback. If they can get that two-headed monster, that ability to run the ball consistently, possess the ball, not turn it over, but then find receivers down the field, he can use his legs to open up the running or to open up the passing game. So that's where if they get good play out of the quarterback, I think they're going to have a shot at this Big Ten title again.
Michigan will win the Big Ten if, I guess the smarmy answer would be, if Donovan Edwards revolutionizes the running back position like Barry Sanders and Walter Payton.
Well, he said he would last year.
I know, that's the joke. The real answer to me is they've got to be dominant up front on the offensive line again. Texas lost a couple guys on the interior of their defensive line. You look along the schedule, USC's a team that you should be able to bully. Oregon, all new defensive line, and Ohio State, the recipe is you win up front. If the offensive line, which replaces all five starters, is close to what they were or as good as they were, they will repeat and go four straight Big Ten titles.
I think you're both right. My first initial reaction was that if Alex Orji plays at the level of J.J. McCarthy last year, that's a tall task. But also how you do that is you have a good offensive line in front of you, playing well and protecting you and being able to run the football. Michigan makes the playoffs if blank.
They beat at least one of the big three on the schedule, Texas, Oregon, Ohio State. They win one of those three, they're in the playoff.
It's going to be interesting to see how the playoff committee is going to look at these tougher schedules this year for the SEC, because Texas, Oklahoma are in it, and you know, the lack of divisions, the same thing in the Big Ten. When you don't have divisions, it's going to be interesting because there's going to be a logjam at the top. And, yeah, I think the easy answer is, yeah, you got to beat either Texas, Oregon, or Ohio State, one of the three. And that would be a signature win for Sharon Moore, because those are the three games you go in at a deficit. Nobody's picking you to win those games. If you do that, you have a chance. And I still think, I know, Jim, we argued about this. I'm not going to get into it right now, but 9-3, if you lose all three of those, that's where it comes down to what does the playoff committee look at, because those are your toughest opponents. If you don't beat one of the big three on your schedule, even though you're 9-3, how do you deserve to make the playoffs?
You think they should get in just because they exist?
No, this isn't Michigan. If it was Penn State, if Ohio State, I think Ohio State's the best team in the Big Ten right now, and I know I'm not supposed to say that, especially in Ann Arbor. If there's a 9-3 team in the Big Ten and they finish in the top four, I think with the strength of the Big Ten, they will still get in.
All right, halfway home here, guys. Donovan Edwards or Will Johnson will finish blank and blank in Heisman votes.
I think Will Johnson is going to finish third in the Heisman voting, because I have no inside knowledge. I do think that they will use him. You mentioned earlier, you've got to have wide receivers that step up. They don't. They have some talent there, but they don't have size there. So Will Johnson would provide that offensively. They can get very creative in a very Charles Woodson-like season, especially if they want to have a guy that is a front runner for the Heisman. Will Johnson would be that guy. Donovan Edwards, I think, is going to be more sixth or seventh, and I think it's going to be a tough start to the season, not because Donovan Edwards isn't going to be able to break some of those big runs. I just think behind a revamped and a brand new offensive line, it's going to be a slow start to the season. And if you're a Heisman candidate, you can't have that slow start.
I have both outside the top 10. And it's for some of what you said. I mean, I don't know that Will Johnson's going to play offense. I know it's hard as a defensive player. Nothing against the player he is. He'll be a top 10 pick in the draft. I don't think he'll be top 10 in the Heisman voting. And Edwards, again, running behind a new offensive line, I think he'll be on the outside.
Michigan will have blank first-round selections in the NFL draft.
John will probably tell me if I'm missing someone or selling them short. I have two definitive ones, Johnson and Mason Graham.
I think you have three, because I think Colston Loveland will be a first-round pick as well. So those two guys. And my outside shots are going to be what you see defensively from Kenneth Grant. I think he is a guy that could get into that first round, and I think Derek Moore is a guy that, you look at that defensive front, last year, so many guys were rotating in, you didn't have the ability to rack up stats. Derek Moore is going to be a guy that I think has a breakout season and could play his way into a late first round pick.
Michigan will finish the regular season with a blank record.
I think the end of the regular season, I'm going to go 9-3. And I think they do beat one of the big three, whether it's Texas or Oregon. Ohio State's going to be a taller task, especially at that time of the season. But I also think there's going to be one of those teams that kind of jumps up and surprises them. And that's where I talk about the leadership of Sharon Moore. I talk about the leadership. I just don't know where it's coming from. There's plenty of great options. But I think at the end of the year, they end up with a 9-3 record. to end the season?
10-2. Here's how I think it goes.
Oh, you're more Wolverine than I am.
Oh, here we go. Emgo Costa. Here's my thought.
Take your blue glasses off,
I think they'll beat Texas early in the season because they're missing two guys up front to beef on the D-line. Michigan can lean on the run game. They'll lean on most of the opponents in the Big Ten. The Oregon game is going to be pivotal. I think that's going to be a challenge for them at Ohio State at the end of the season. Here's how I'd break it down. I think they win one of the big three games, and that gets them to 10-2.
They're going to have to, if they're going to get to 10-2, they're going to have to be very consistent in all the other, the nine games outside of the big three. And you're going to have to get, especially early on for against Texas, you're going to have to find a way to look at that offensive line and say, how do they find five guys and how do they get five guys to work as one unit? And then also the quarterback, whether it's Orji, whether it's Tuttle, whether, you know, it doesn't matter who it is, you're going to have to find a guy that finds their rhythm early against Fresno State.
Well, and I could see a situation where they drop the game to Texas because Ewers is humming and they're further along and they bring back more offensive firepower. Michigan's offensive line is unsettled. I could see Michigan losing the Oregon game. But if you hired the right guy in Sherrone Moore, your offensive line by the final regular season game is going to have developed to where you continue to follow the recipe. And their first win of those big three may be the last of those big three. But that's the game you really know if you hired the right guy. Could he go into Columbus against their super team, have built a DNA, built up the offensive line, the position group he was coaching before taking over the head coaching gig? I think it's 10-2, even if that last game is the one that gets him 10.
And finally, Michigan's MVP will be blank.
Will Johnson. If I'm going to put him at third in the Heisman, he's going to have to be the MVP, whether they use him offensively or not, or on special teams or not. Defensively, we saw it in so many different games over the last couple of years, but especially in the national championship game. You got to have big-time players step up in big-time moments. He did that coming out of halftime with the interception last year. He is a guy that they are going to count on to give the ball back to the offense, to take it to the house if he gets an interception. He is the best athlete on the team, and I have high expectations, and I think there's a lot of opportunity for him in a lot of different ways. I just hope, whether it's Kirk Campbell, Sherrone Moore, that they can find ways to utilize his talents more than just on defense.
And I'll go Mason Graham. I think the strength of this team is on defense. I think it's up front in the trenches. I think he is dominant for Michigan this season.
Mm-hmm.
Jim, I would agree with you. I would say Mason Graham starts up front.
And that...
John.
That...
I went outside the box on so many different things.
Michigan Mad Libs, 97.1.